Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome to the Floor Recap with Angie, Tony, and Brad. Tonight, we are recapping Season 4, Episode 6, with our very special guests, Queen Elizabeth and Princess Kelsey. They are both here to break down this week's episodes with us. We basically saw the reign of a queen end far too soon, and a new king was crowned by the end of the episode. I personally felt some nostalgia vibes when I saw SpaghettiOs, Karate Kid, and Monopoly. Hello, weekend of the 80s. I was here for it. I think it was a fantastic episode. Only one person, if we don't count Elizabeth from the top, ended up actually going back to the floor. So I know Brad's happy, and he's going to talk about that. But for now, welcome, ladies. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys. You're so happy and smiley. We have all ladies from the floor in the house. Tony, nice. Season 3. Kelsey, Elizabeth, of course, Season 4. And me, Season 2. Brad is our hapless hero who joins in and gives us some wise cracks and keep us real, right? Brad, keeping us honest?
I'm from Season 0.
Season 0.
I was Zero season, man.
Well, I was pretty excited. First of all, this Battle of the States got me hyped because there were two folks from South Dakota. So I'm a South Dakota native. I was born in Brookings. My whole family's in Watertown, Aberdeen, Wabe. I'm an Army brat, so a bunch of us moved, but I've spent every summer there as long as I can remember. And most of my folks in that are still in that area. And I have family from, you mentioned, Fergus Falls and Detroit Lakes before we got on air, Kelsey. So I feel a little kindred connection, and I was really rooting for you to go far. I think Christy dropped out earlier, didn't she? And she's from Brookings.
Yep. She was from Brookings. She had buffet, and she fell to Aaron when he went on that run.
His blast through the floor. Yeah. But I was like, go South Dakota. And, you know, we'll see how that ended up as we recap tonight. But Elizabeth, we got to start the show with you. And thank you again for getting dressed for the occasion. I keep forgetting. Tony, you're wearing red. You wore red on the show, didn't you?
No, we're pink.
You have a dress, like a red dress.
But we'll say that it's like close to what I was wearing.
I'm kind of blue. I don't know. I'll get it together and have my wardrobe on next time. Elizabeth, you did so well last week. It was so fun to see you kind of turn the tables on Mr. Aaron and give him a little comeuppance with such grace and with this kind of like sardonic twinkle in your eye with every move. I was like, oh, she's plotting. It's happening. It's on. And so I was, like most people, pretty excited to see how you would deal with being the whale, with having Harry Potter. And talk us through just a little bit of
your reasoning and whether or not you were going to go back and hang out there and wait, or you were thinking you might continue going for time boosts, going for category swaps and what have you. Can you walk us through why you decided to go back? Do you remember if you had any thoughts, or was it just kind of a panic? I want to feel safe for like 30 seconds. Get me off the stage. Like, walk us through that a little bit.
Right. So I think it was, it all happened very quickly. You know, it's very kind of like one of those, you know, you're up there, you're in the moment, you're like running through the three and then like, okay, you get to do this. And it was very, it's crazy for me because I had always thought like, okay, I want to try and win three and then I just want to get like time boost or do whatever. And I want to try and get myself into a corner where I can just try to play that long game and hide out. Right. And so three wins and I'm standing up there and Rob Lowe, you know how he has that kind of ability to talk you into things because you don't want to let Rob Lowe down. I mean, he's Rob Lowe. So <Right. laughs> it kind of seemed like, well, you could do this. And I was like, oh, I could do that. So that had all kind of happened so quickly that I'd not really had a chance to get myself back together and try to regroup and rethink. And I was like, you know, I know Harry Potter, I feel like enough. Like I'm not some aficionado. I'm not like this Harry Potter a savant or anything like that. But I was like, but I've seen the movies and I feel pretty good about it. So I'm not terrified of inheriting this category. And if I just go back to the floor and take a minute to breathe and get myself back together, then, you know, maybe I could start to be like, okay, I know they're going to come for me. I'm thinking it's going to take half the episode before they start coming to give me a little bit of time to think out, because you're connected to so many different categories. Yeah. I hadn't even had a chance to look at them all or think about what do I do next. So I was like, oh, okay, I just need to get myself back together. So I was like, I'm staying on the floor, try to get myself back together. So,
well, tell us. Last week, you finished the episode, and most of America doesn't always know that you don't film immediately right away, but you also don't go, you know, home for a week and come back. Can you remember if season 4, episode 5 was an end of day filming, if it was a before dinner filming, or if you had like a meal or some break between that and having to tell Rob your decision because he says, we'll find out next week? You know, so how much time did you have to maybe reconsider that strategy?
Right. Not a whole lot. It was before the dinner break. So I remember that. So I remember that I had to go do the confessionals in the ridiculously sweltering, over hot room where, you know, they're like, do it again, but this time say it like this. And you're like, ah, I just want to go and like think about this. So it was that, and then like rush, try to eat something. And I was trying to find like who's got the like map of what's going on right now. Like nobody had one, and just try to, like I say, catch my breath. And then you're right back out there. So it was not a whole lot of time. If it was 30 minutes, I'd have been shocked.
Yeah. So.
Can I say a couple things? One, I was not here on our last episode. Mike, who's a better host than I am, actually, he was here. He was filling in for me. And thank you, Mike. But I want to say you did great last episode. I love the power move of you switching it on to him. You know, he served a dish and you're like, I'm going to serve this one cold and it's going to be brutal to you. And I'm going to take your heart out as I do it. I love that kind of gameplay. I do want to say on this show for how long, we've done this 2 years, it feels like. I get so upset when they freeze. I just have to bring this up. If you've watched the show, you know I bring up the freezes a lot. This is the first freeze where I actually felt sorry for her. Like, yeah. I was sitting there. I wasn't like, oh, you idiot. How did you? I just felt so bad for this woman that she froze that long. I've never seen a freeze like that. And my son's 12, and he's like, Dad, I love the freezes. He loves them. and they are good television, but I do feel bad for him. Elizabeth, you played great that episode. I give y'all props. I enjoyed it. I was watching it, but not on here.
Yeah. I want to say it too. I don't like the freezes. It's terrible. I think, I don't know if anybody mentioned this yet, but it was a point like when we're kind of in the very beginning before anything starts, and you're getting the rules briefing, that somebody even asked, like, if somebody doesn't realize it's their turn, can we tell them it's their turn? And they were like, no, you're not allowed to say anything. And so I feel like you could feel the heartbreak of everybody on that floor because we all love Shelby so much. And like somebody wanted just to be like, Shelby!
Wait, and tell me, that happened last season. That happened your season, right?
That did, yeah.
What if freezing and somebody hollers at, and he's like, oh my God, I need to go. Didn't that happen?
Yeah, no, from what I remember, it was that you could, like, be like, hey, but you can't be like Harry Potter. You can't, like, say answers out. But no. There were actually a couple of times where people have just, like, gotten someone's attention. At least in my season, I remember that.
Yeah. Sad thing, here's the other side story to tell you, is that Shelby and I actually live in the same town, and I've seen her out at the bar. So.
Oh, that's awesome. In Delaware?
No, I actually live in North Carolina now. So.
Oh, you are? What port?
In Durham.
Oh, right on. Shoot, I was just out there. I was in Cary.
This is the weirdest night. Okay, so I moved to Minnesota from North Carolina last year.
Yeah.
So I'm close to Kelsey, and I was where you were. So, hey, there's that's pretty
nice. Yeah. I mean, I spent more than half my life in Delaware, so I felt like I could still claim it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah, so you ended up going back, but you didn't have any time because, of course, the randomizer, you know, hits. Now, thankfully, he wasn't right next to you, right? I don't think Mark was adjacent, right? He had to come at you in the next duel. So you had one opportunity to breathe, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, there was just the one. And that was the other funny thing that happened. I kind of resigned myself to a certain degree of being like, no way I'm coming out of episode 6 with this 31 category territory. Like, I was like, I'm losing this empire this season, like this episode, and I know it. And so in my mind, though, I was like, but I'd like to at least see the episode before it happened. Like, I'd like to watch this one last episode before I go down. And I thought, like, it would be like the other episodes. Nobody wants to go with the whale too early, right? They're going to wait till at least halfway or maybe towards the end of the episode. So I'll just see a few duels and just kind of, like, enjoy it. And so he gets randomized. And I saw him pick tablescapes, like, moving right in my direction. Yeah. I was like, oh, Lord, he coming. Here he comes.
Oh, no, he's so
it's like I knew it was going to be like, one in it, and it was like right going to be right back up there. So
did you also think, like, did you just make a decision at the end of last episode that said, I want 20K, I'm happy with 20K, I know I'm not likely to last for the 250, I'll take my 20K, I'll see how much more fun I can have, and I'm done? Or did you have any hope that you could run the table or survive? Like, was there even a part of you?
It was it. And I even was, I was like, remember when I was up there at the scales with my hands, like, yeah, I could, because my original plan was to try and head into a corner and stay there, right? Yeah. Play the long game, do that whole thing that everybody, get the time boost and just chill out.
Yeah.
And so when Rob's making that, like, you could do this, and then I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I could win 20,000. And I was like, I knew that took the 250 off the table. Like, and that's why I say I knew that. And I knew going into that next episode, I'd never leave that episode still standing on the floor. So I was just like, all right, you know, like, maybe I can go home with some money, though.
Congrats.
I was like so excited for you, Elizabeth, because I know we were sitting at that table, the same table together right before our taping for the day. But I mean, that's kind of the way that this season has went, with like this huge divide and this huge, huge, huge piece of territory, that's where people's thoughts are now. It's either I'm either going for 20K or I'm going long game. And it's one or the other. There's really not anyone who thinks that they're going to be able to double up on both.
Yeah.
Just with the way that our season has transpired.
Yeah.
Can I say, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first season where a big block like that has happened?
I was just about to say that. Literally just about to say that this season's so unique in the fact that, like, if you want to get that 20K, there is one block that you can go to. Usually, like, most seasons past, it would be like at least two blocks, two big territories that people will try to build to get that 20K, but this season it's just one. So it's like very, very cutthroat.
Well, yeah, I feel like if you have the block now, you got no shot, because there's still 52 after this episode, 52 spots still available. Yeah. It's tough. I wouldn't want that block, but you're crazy not to go for it, because you can get the 20 G's and walk out of there with some cash, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, we're almost like going to the end and then we're going to back up. But I think that'll be Jonathan's kind of cross to bear now. He's got 20K. Nobody's going to feel bad for him if he goes, just like Luke. You know, he had dropped with 40K, but he does have podcasters. And to me, that's a pretty intimidating and weird category. It's not a visual category in the way that some of these others are. And even if you have favorite podcasters, not everybody knows who their podcasters look like. Sometimes, you know, the podcaster isn't the person on the picture, you know, when you're downloading from Spotify. So
with podcasters, it's just pictures of, like, people who do podcasts, right?
I'm assuming.
Visual.
We assume, yeah.
It's going to be
how fun would it be? There's a picture of it. It's going to be Angie and Tony and Brad. It's going to be one of them. Yes. I feel like Rob Lowe is going to be one of them.
Elizabeth.
Right? Literally.
I know. He's like, literally everywhere you download your podcast. We're going to be like, put us on. Put the floor podcasters on the 5-minute thing.
Let me say this about Rob Lowe real quick while we're on here, ladies. I feel like he's got the Jaylen Brown paint in his hair at this point. It looks like he's dyed his hair. I was asking my wife last night. I'm like, his hair's dyed, right? I feel like he would look so much cooler if he just went gray-headed. Well, he does, would look so much cooler.
He does dye his hair, but he's pretty open. He had an Instagram reel not long ago being at the salon getting his tips done. So I don't think...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
he's... It looked really dark in this episode, Kelsey. Yeah. It looked like it was painted on him. It wasn't a good dye job. Tony, if he had just gray hair, you're like, he's a handsome dude, right?
I think it would look nice if he like tried to rock the gray, but
I mean, he's a brunette fox. I mean, he's rocking.
I mean, Andy Cohen rocks the gray. Doesn't Andy Cohen rock the gray? He rocks it good.
Anderson Cooper rocks the gray. I mean, a lot of those guys. But Tim, by the way,
it's nice that he has hair, right? You know, a lot of people that age don't have hair. I met my husband, he was 45. He didn't have hair then. He doesn't have any now. So,
Okay. Point taken, Elizabeth. Point taken. You're like, if he only had some hair to dye, I would be okay.
Right. I'll say this. Tim, our friend from season 2, did remind us that Virginia ended up combining two smaller whale blocks to make a larger whale, but that would have been episode 7. So that's exactly like 1 week from where you guys are now. So we did end up getting that boom. Like toward the latter half of our show as well.
But even then,
there was never like season 4, they never had like two big blocks.
No,
it was always just one.
It broke open,
which is crazy.
So let's get to this, to the recap. We've got a few of these duels that we can breeze through rather quickly. Most, you know, I won't say most of them, but some of them were pretty straightforward, not full of a lot of drama. So we'll kind of scoot through the first couple. Now, we know that Elizabeth dodged the first situation. The randomizer just missed her and hit Mark, who's like Queen Elizabeth adjacent. He's got junk foods. He seems like a plucky, fun guy. It looks like he's an actor, and he had a good personality. He also, you know, we learned later he had these lightning bolt glasses, which could have been intimidating for any Harry Potter fan. But he decides to go for tablescapes with Liliana. Now, I gotta say, tablescapes, in my experience, I mean, I grew up during the days before Martha Stewart went to prison for, insider trading. I remember tablescapes. I remember Ina Garten. I remember Martha Stewart. I remember, you know, decorating your table for the holidays and just kind of creating these massive, I think, rather gaudy displays because I'm more of a minimalist myself. But my expectation was that we were almost going to see Mardi Gras on a table and have to determine the theme, kind of like theme parties and table settings had a baby. Tablescapes, I thought, was a misnomer. Now, you all know before filming more about those categories. In some instances, they specify or they give you a little lead. Did you have any indication that it was anything other than just name the thing found on a table?
No. No? I'm speaking for myself on that one. I don't know if Kelsey had a feeling on it, but I Googled tablescapes and I'm like, I still don't know what this is. And because it didn't say table settings, which would have made more sense. That would have been like, I know
I was
what
just
talking
about to
that.
Ask, what do you think would have been a better name for that? Though?
Right.
Agreed. So, I think table settings would have been better.
They released the prompt questions to us, but it was super late before, like after our meeting before the filming. And I want to say that like name the item that would appear on a like decorated table or a, like adorn. It was something like that, like with it. But once again, I do also remember in the meeting that they specify, we're not trying to distract you with other things. So name what is in front of you. So I think that's maybe why they simplified it a little
bit. That makes sense. Because otherwise it would have been, again, almost these ambiguous themes. And they're almost always like holiday. You can only have so many sprigs of evergreen, you know, before you're like, what's going on up there? So it was pretty straightforward.
Nude dude table party would have been fun.
Dude table party, right?
Oh my God.
Exactly. Nude dude table party. Exactly.
Our friend David.
That's David. Go, David. David, friend of the show, by the way. Hi, David.
It's going down in history as the best wrong answer ever.
It was fantastic.
Nude dude party.
It was fantastic. New dude party. So that was pretty straightforward. I think Liliana slipped up on a couple. She said everything but teapot. She went all around the barn and didn't hit teapot. So she took a little extra time. But Mark ends up winning. then he's right next to Elizabeth. Elizabeth's like, all right, man, let's just do this. You know what's coming. And he says, let's do it. And I think most of America may have thought, here's this guy, looks generally like a movie nerd. And I love movie nerds, so I mean that in with all affection. He's got little lightning glasses. He's probably got this. You know, Elizabeth just inherited it. She doesn't really look like she might be a big Harry Potter fan. Who knows? So I don't know. I thought maybe you were the underdog, but you kept it going. Just boom, 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 boom. And I thought that was a pretty impressive display. I need to know, the briefing prior to the duel, did you need first and last names? Or was it like, if you try to say first and last and you missed, then you're done. If you just said last, you're fine. Was it a lot like the athletes one from before? Can you remember?
Yeah, I don't remember specifically, but I feel like it had to have been very similar to if you give first and last, they have to both be correct, but you could just give last, because I just did McGonagall and was okay with that. And
exactly.
Did Professor Dumbledore, yeah. And got, was given that one. So okay. I think it was much more about the last name than anything. So
well, we've learned the floor is pretty lenient on answers at times. I mean, there's...
And strict on answers at times.
And strict, strict
and very lenient. There's not a middle ground, right, Tony? It's like, yeah. You're like, you got this. No, you don't.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, I was a little bit disappointed with this duel because it was, like, a very, like, high anticipated duel. Like, just Harry Potter being very, 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 like, well-known and, like, I don't know. Some of the ones that were skipped, I was like, oh, I wanted it to be like boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
And like get to characters
right.
That
yeah.
Like super,
yeah.
Super niche.
Like Star
I
Wars.
I mean, yeah.
Like our Star Wars duel, I'm just going to call it.
And I love Star Wars.
I think our Star Wars was probably one of the best, like uber geeks, on point, super fast,
yeah.
Knew their snuff, never passed. Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom. Yeah, it would have been fun to see how deep
I like how
got.
They had like other things besides the characters, like the Golden Snitch or whatever. But like,
yeah.
I wish there was a little
the
bit
sorting
more
hat.
Of that incorporated.
But
yeah, because I think like if you have a category like Harry Potter, I think it should be like a little bit more niche because I think everybody knows about Harry Potter. But if you get those like, you know, those things that maybe not the characters that maybe not everybody knows, I think it'd be really cool to see that back and forth.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I did too. But in some ways, I'm glad it didn't go that far because I don't know if I could have made it into the super
yeah,
niche.
Yeah, because, okay, that's one other thing I will say. Like, since season one, people have been pitching Harry Potter as their category. Like,
yeah.
Everybody wanted to do Harry Potter. And
yeah.
It wasn't until season four where they got the go-ahead. So it's like, you know what? It's like everybody
yeah.
wanted. So I really wanted it to be like a boom, 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 boom,
yeah.
boom. But it didn't have that flow. It was still a very good duel. Like, at least it wasn't like a freeze
yeah.
duel. If it was like a freeze duel, I would have been so mad. But
right.
it was
oh,
still
oh,
like
absolutely.
A good duel. But
so,
I was hoping that they did category or did showed pictures that were a little bit
yeah.
more like deep cuts.
I wish I shared the same joy
agreed.
Because I'm not a Harry Potter guy. So this category ranks with the Mina and the Taylor Swift category for me. Like, I know no Taylor Swift songs. And I knew Harry Potter and Ron Weasley. We've watched like three of the Harry Potters. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. If I was, I probably would have really enjoyed this category.
I do think that Elizabeth and Mark were perfect partners in the duel that didn't make it down in depth. I think both of them were equally matched. And I'm going to say this with affection, like mediocrity in terms of their depth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Like they both seem to keep pace with when we got to the basic stuff of Harry Potter, everybody fine, nobody freezes. But that's as far as you both could have gone. And so for that reason, I assume for Mark's, I'm speaking, I don't know. But I think neither of you could have gotten into the nitty gritty down to like the 45th or 50th piece because you were doing this. So I think it was good for what it was. But it's one of those things, you're right. It's everybody expected like an epic thing. Like Star Wars, like Disney, like Marvel characters, you know, the things where you're going to have the uber geeks fighting uber geek for who knows the best.
Yeah.
And this didn't end up being that, but, you know.
And that's one of the reasons, that, like, there were so many people on the floor that are like, oh, I would take Harry Potter. Oh, absolutely. I'm going to take Harry Potter. And that's where I went, nope. I
nope.
said, I would have done fine dueling Elizabeth. Dueling Mark with it, and honestly, Elizabeth,
yes.
I saw you studying for it. I knew you were going to go deeper. I don't know if you remember this, but I even offered, like, "Do you want me to quiz you?" And you were like, "No, I got it. It's okay." Like, I was willing to quiz you on it. But Harry Potter was not what I was going to grab because I likened it to like that Star Wars one
yes.
or like the one, and I'm like, "Nope." Like, you don't touch a Harry Potter fan, just like you don't touch a Star Wars fan.
Exactly.
And you don't touch a Marvel fan. Like,
right.
100%. Like, that's a no-go.
Yeah.
Like,
do
so,
not poke
and it's
that
like,
bear.
You know, like,
I wasn't, I, most people
I had
have
zero
watched,
intention.
Most yep. people mm-hmm. have watched a Marvel movie. A lot of people watch Harry Potter. So it's just like a lot of people have general knowledge. But if you're saying I'm the expert at Harry Potter, I'm not going to go against you.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That was a good general knowledge performance. And honestly, Elizabeth, yeah. I take nothing away when I say mediocre. I'm a mediocre Harry Potter fan. Like I would have gotten about as deep as you guys did. And yeah. I thought it was great. You got as far as you did. And then, none, you know, you both knew things.
And you don't touch a combat movie fan either.
Oh, dude, we're going to get there.
So, you know, there's like always this point where it's like, do you realize that your opponent is cooked or not? Or do you realize like how in trouble you are? Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes like when somebody passes and then they show what it is, the person will like, oh, you know, and they'll say the thing. And so the one that I always stood out for me was in my duel with Sibel on Great Outdoors when they did the charcoal chimney. When she said that, because I, you know, I didn't see the picture. I didn't see what it looked like. And she said charcoal chimney. And in my head, I'm like, is that one of those little fire pit chimney? Like, what did she have a picture of? Like, I couldn't even picture it. And so it wasn't until I saw that episode that I'm like, oh, I've always thought of that as like charcoal starter. Like, I don't know if I would have called it a charcoal chimney. So it's that weird. So I didn't know on Mark's like first pass, like, right. But I was like, that's a little bizarre. But on his first pass, I didn't know who he had because he didn't ever say like, oh, like what the name was.
Oh, like Lestrange or, oh, Severus Black. He didn't.
And so you know when you have like that big side screen and they're like, don't look at the side screen. It'll get you all
confused. Don't look at it. You're like.
I could kind of out of the corner of my eye see that it was Lestrange on that screen and he passed and I was like, oh, he cooked now. If he couldn't get her, he cooked now.
Angie, was it Tony or Mike? I'm pretty sure it's one of them that told us one time, if you pass, you're statistically going to lose that cat. If you pass, you don't have a good shot at winning if you pass.
Yeah, after that first pass, it just your probability of winning goes down.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it was you, Tony.
Unless
maybe
you had a time risk.
No, I think like it was Mike that said that.
I think it was Mike. I'm giving Mike the credit because
I think
like
Mike will come back in. He's chatting
like Tim
up the storm.
So if Tim wants to take credit, he can.
Yeah. Let's move past because this one Elizabeth's like, all right, well, I'm up here. If I have any chance, I gotta be getting me some leverage. Let's go for that time boost. Let's go for a category swap, something. And she stays up there, right? So then she says, okay, Kelsey, let's do it. And now we get you guys going at it. And I honestly thought that the category holiday foods, right? We already had food holidays, which was named the food on the calendar. You know, okay. This was holiday foods. I'm like, this is probably going to be, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for Hanukkah, you know, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, whatever. We're going to see lots of those things. And we did. We also saw a few that were a little off, but you guys pretty much were neck and neck. There was an interesting side chatter. I wanted to get Elizabeth's impression of this, and I can't remember because I don't know all of your cast like the back of my hand, but one of the gentlemen said something along the lines of, Elizabeth is good, but she's not that fast. She's waiting for people to pass.
That was.
And I thought, okay, shut up, because I was like, don't you pick on Elizabeth. Like, she's my girl right now. Like, I was getting pissy at them. And I'm like, whatever, let's go. And then I was like really watching the both of you. And I wouldn't say one of you was faster than the other. I think you both got some challenging images. You both were a little more methodical. But do you think that could have been a speedier round? Like looking back, do you think one of you could have sped it up? Is that something you worked on? Or were you just happy with the way it went down?
I don't know. That's really hard. First off, I want to say that I totally saw Elizabeth stare me down. And I think it was because I was right in the center. There was
please,
no,
I just want to make sure we're clear. I was not gutting anything, but you were right there in the green.
I know.
Like,
and that's
like,
what I'm saying is like, my spot was one of the dead center four spots. And there's like, and everyone in front of me has already been wiped out. And so I am standing right there with the beautiful holiday foods. And Rob Lowe just goes,
I was like, it's just food.
Holiday foods or something else. And I'm like, way to call me out, Rob Lowe. Thank you very much. But there was no one in the way visually blocking me. And I saw the stare and I saw it like clicking your eyes. And I went, we're doing this. Like, okay.
Yep. Let's do it.
We're doing this. Like, all right. Like stealing myself for it. I don't know. When I was up there playing, I felt like that was about as quick as I could get. I'm like, if you look at how quickly I said eggnog at that first one.
That was good. Yeah. Turkey. Turkey.
Eggnog. Those were fast. I don't know if I really could have been a ton quicker by the time I saw the picture and my brain processed what that picture was. Because there's a few things that, like, I know Elizabeth got where she got fruitcake and you also got Panettone, where visually those look very, very similar.
Yep.
And so, like, the ability to differentiate between some of those things that...
And even the fig pudding, honestly, I've seen fruitcakes that look kind of like that. Yeah. You know, shaped in fun ways. I mean, it wasn't cut apart.
And I love food.
That was, yeah, it was easy at first, but then it started getting tough. I will say Yorkshire pudding made me sad because my mom grew up in England, and that was one of her favorite dishes.
I am.
And she told me, when I got to Ireland, she's like, "You gotta try Yorkshire pudding." So I looked it up, and I saw it. It never left my brain. So when I saw it up there, I was like, "Oh, I knew it!"
But I thought popover was a good guess because it was an odd scale. I wasn't sure what those were. Were they egg tarts? They were. It was really hard to tell right away.
Yeah, that was tough. The one that really I think I'm maddest the most. And so Panettone was tough, although I knew, like, once I saw it, I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I've seen it before and I know what it is. The Pizzelle, though, is the one that made me so mad because I was like, it's the star anise cookie. Like, I knew what it was with the word Pizzelle. It just wasn't coming into my head.
It just wasn't on your mouth. And now Panettone, also known as the Italian doorstop, is a favorite holiday gift. TJ Maxx, if you ever want a Panettone, dear listeners, and you don't want to pay full price, just go to any TJ Maxx the day after Christmas, and they will all be 50% off. And if you can wait till after New Year's, you will find them for about 99 cents on the clearance rack, and they never really go bad. So go have some. Not a fan.
And it was tough until mashed potatoes.
I will say, a lot of them kind of look the same. They all look like a form of cake with, like, stuff in it. Like, at least four or five of them.
Fruitcake. I was like, I don't know a fruitcake. I said cheese. That's how bad I was. I was like, that's a
cheese. Yeah, no, they all kind of, like, the fig pudding, or was it fig pudding or plum pudding?
Plum pudding.
And the fruitcake, and then the other thing. Like, they all kind of just look like cornbread with, like, things in it.
But I love me some Kringle. I had my Norwegian Kringle on there, and, you know, I grew up having lefse and Kringle and all of that.
I was waiting for Christmas. I was waiting for the lefse. Like, I was I'm like, you've got to pull out a lefse. And especially when I heard Elizabeth do, like, a tamales. And I'm like, all right, we're getting these cultural dishes. Come on.
Give me that lefse. I'm looking for my lefse. Yeah, so. I'm with you. And then, of course, you had the state food of South Dakota, the green bean casserole with French fried onion on top. So I was glad to see you didn't miss
that. The only time where it's acceptable to use the word casserole rather than a hot dish.
Than a hot dish. Right, exactly.
Cassie, oh, I'm God bless a hot you. Dish guy. I understand that up here. It's so ridiculous.
I got to come visit you near, like, we'll meet in Sioux Falls or something.
Oh, you got to try the hot dish. You're going to fly the flag of Minnesota.
Get the hot dish. All right, so Kelsey, you pulled that out, and, you know, Elizabeth had an awesome run, $20,000 in your pocket. I mean, obviously, I think you're probably not so sad you didn't win bigger money, but you're sad to leave because you've made friends and you'd really love to see how it plays out. And now, womp womp, you're scored it off, and, you know, out you go, right? And
I would just like to,
to throw in there, Elizabeth, that our duel, our duel had 3 seconds left.
Three,
and
I know.
That is now the third time this season that there has been a 3 second left duel, which is so far tied for, like, the closest duel, which is 100% what I expected. The whole time I told people, I said, I am more scared of Elizabeth than I am of Aaron, just because Elizabeth is so calm and calculated in her decisions. Like, Aaron was just kind of chaotic and throwing things out. I'm like, I can handle chaos. Yeah. I'm like, I have 4 kids. I totally handle chaos. Like, Elizabeth's like, she's there and she says,
Was there any?
I expected our duel to be exactly what it was. And
it was perfect. It was a perfect floor duel.
Either way, like 100%. We play that duel 100 times. It's going to be 50-50 every time.
It was perfect. And honestly, there's speed and then there's deliberation. And I think you're a good mix of both, Elizabeth. I mean, you can be frenetic and shoot out stuff and you look like you're fast and smart, but sometimes you're not, you know, and you just need to be deliberate and say what you see. And I think you showed people that that's a good strategy too.
Brad, was there any, like, backstage cussing out of each other? Is there any drama we need to know about on the show right now? Because I'm waiting to this out. Like, I'd have been like, how did you beat me, Elizabeth? I'm the queen.
I know that's
not at all. As a matter of fact, it was so sad because, you know, we're at the study table together and it's like Arlene and Sabelle and Kelsey. And, like, we'd all been talking. And then, like, you know, I was near the other ladies on the floor. I don't, like, so I loved them all. And so you do get to see some clips in episode 5, and I noticed in this one, I rewatched it, you can hear me apologizing to Sabelle and apologizing to Arlene and being like, I'm so sorry. So, and I think they cut it out, but I felt like I hugged Kelsey at the end.
I know. Yes, I know. And honestly, like, I truly think, like, our season, I don't know what the other seasons were like, but we were all ready to play. Like, I feel like we're all, like, fairly, like, strong competitors. But, like, we all truly were happy for each other when people won money. Like, I was so excited. Like, Luke was right next to me when he won that 40K, and I was thrilled for him. Still happy. Like, he showed the video of, like, his mom finding out, and I'm, like, I'm crying. You know, like, Elizabeth wins the money, and I'm, like, good for her. Like, she just crushed that board. She earns that money. Yep. Like, I am so proud of her. Like, that we, like, genuine support, like, not angry, like, really one way.
I'd say it was similar on our season. There wasn't a single person that we wouldn't have wanted to win the whole thing, really. Yeah. I mean, some more, quote, deserving for the whole money, but there wasn't anybody I was like, ugh. You know, I'd never felt that way. It was like, get it, you know, do your best.
Well, I would say my season was a bit more unique because Brian won, like, half of the nightly winnings. And, I mean, it sounds like very, like, oh, I should be so jealous, but, like, he was such a down-to-earth guy. Like, every time he won, we were all, like, celebrating. So it was just, yeah, it was nice to see, honestly.
When Elizabeth went home, I was sad because she never got to play against this guy.
Scott Johansson!
Lenny Kravitz.
No bow for you, Elizabeth. No bow for you.
No bow for me.
I wanted to see you play against Bo. I really did. I was like, man, I'm sad.
So funny. All right, well, now we get Kelsey's run, right? Kelsey, basically, you know, Elizabeth just passed on the crown. It's like that Miss America, right? Like, if the winner cannot continue to hold her position, then you will, with honor, step into that space. And you did really well. You went out for Monopoly, and yeah. I love it. I love that you're a board gamer with your family. I think that's awesome. I grew up doing the same. I also don't have family that plays Monopoly anymore. It's forbidden. It causes a lot of anger among normally very polite Midwesterners. You can get pretty crappy when you play Risk or Monopoly. It's just isn't healthy.
Yeah. Angie, that's what you do. That's what you do in the Midwest. You play games all the time.
Well, when you're
watching this night, I was like, she's in South Dakota. She's a gamer. It's happening.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kelsey, I want to brag on you for a minute before you start talking. Look, you are my kind of player. You and Elizabeth both. I mean, you both are. But Kelsey, Tony, you know how I feel about this. And Kelsey's like, man, I'm staying up here. I'm challenging. I don't care. I've been waiting to get up here. Tony, you had to be thinking that's Brad's kind of player because
I love
aggressive players. Both of y'all are aggressive. So I'm honored to have you both on tonight because y'all both played really great.
And yeah, I think it's the fact that y'all were aggressive players and y'all had that big whale. Because, I mean, it's basically like, I mean, once you get that big whale, it's basically like a death sentence. It's like everybody's targeting you. But, like, you have that whale and you still decide to, like, charge forward. I think that's really good gameplay, in my opinion.
It's great. I love aggressive.
Even I love it.
Go home. I'm proud of the fact that you stood up there and you're like, I'm going to try this. You don't go back to the floor. Because, Tony, if they go back to the floor, they're going right back up. It's pretty much happening. We saw that tonight. We're going to get to that.
So it's really just about how comfortable do you feel with the category that you have? Do you feel more comfortable with the category that you inherited or any other categories on the board? Because you basically have, like, your pick of, like, any category on the floor. So if you inherited a category you feel comfortable with, then you could just go back. But if you feel more comfortable with another one, just challenge somebody else.
Just keep going. And junk food was one that you knew people would come at you. It just wasn't intimidating enough.
I'm going to say that I feel like Elizabeth sealed my fate when she called me up early. Like, and I mean it in the best. No, it's okay. I was just like you. I wanted to stay and watch as long as possible, but I felt like I got the whale too early in that episode. And so, you know, I play Elizabeth in the third duel and blessed enough to be able to move on and have an opportunity to play. And I went, gosh darn it, like junk food. I feel like I would crush junk food. I feel like I'd be really good, but I feel like everybody else thinks that they would be good at junk food.
Yeah.
So immediately I go, I need to protect myself and protect my space. And the best way to do that is for me to choose which category I'm going to play rather than be forced into a corner. And that's where I went to, like, Monopoly was one of the, when we got the whole list of categories, there were like five or six categories that I was like, 100%, I want to play this, 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 and this. And I know I don't even need to study them. Like, I'm just going to play them because I want to play them. And Monopoly was like right at the top of my list. I was like, why didn't I think to pitch that? Like,
I will say I like love the Monopoly duel, especially you, Kelsey. You kept on going, oh, heavens, great heavens. Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. That was 100% so funny.
GW reaction. That's who I am. Like,
yeah, no, happens, that was like, so
oh my goodness gracious.
But I'm not really, so I love board games, but I've never played Monopoly before. It's just.
Whoa. You never played Monopoly?
Not for any reason. I just one day I woke up, I was like, oh, I guess I've never played it before. And every time I tell people that, they're like, okay, we got to play, but it always falls through.
All right, well, we're gonna play next time I come.
You're the youngest
I'm bringing my
person on this cast right now. Yeah. So I get it.
But anything else, name anything else, I have played it before. I love board games. I don't know why I've never played Monopoly. It really beats, but anyways, so that whole, I mean, I understood car and hat, but like North Carolina Avenue, I was like, how can y'all tell from just like the...
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I was honestly ready for them to be like, what's the rent value?
Yes. Like, wow. I had the same thing.
Illinois, and I'm like, $20. Yes. Let's go. Like, I was ready for rent value.
Well, this one's part of the problem. So last night, Tim from season two, he and I watched live together. We FaceTime WhatsApp screen and we watched together. And before each duel, we try to like anticipate what the slides will be. Because, you know, we're super floor nerds and this is what floor nerds do. So I said, Monopoly. At some point, they need to go deep. We got to have at least 50 things. And I'm like, are there 50 like squares on there? And I go, well, they'll do the playing pieces. Yep. And they'll probably do a hotel and a house. But then I go, wait, are they going to go to rent? And then I say, but if they do the modern Monopoly, it's different rent schemes than it was in the ones I played in the 80s. And now you've got so many different Monopolies since the copyright or trademark ran out and people can reboot it. So it was a whole thing. We were going, I don't know. And how much are they going to ask how much it was for the beauty pageant win? Because you remember? Do you know, $10. Kelsey?
It's $10. You win
$10. Prize. You win the beauty pageant.
Second prize in the beauty contest.
Second prize in the beauty contest. So I said, are they going to go that deep? And he's like, I don't know.
Oh my God, I would have loved that. That would have been amazing.
Right? So I thought it was a great category and it was fun. It was different. I was so excited. That was really, really well done. And then of course, Christina, I didn't think she anticipated you would go for her. She seemed a little shocked. She seemed to be studying it since she inherited it several episodes ago. She was really fast. But then when she hit some spots. And I think that moment of just not saying Avenue, it was against the rules. And I really felt bad because she really did spin that wheel for a while.
I talked to her afterward because I had made the same mistake on Mediterranean because I went both Mediterranean Avenue. And I talked to her afterward. She goes, when I heard you do that, I made a mental note to myself to make sure I didn't do that. And I think it caught her on North Carolina because she still had two words.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, if I have Pennsylvania Avenue, Pacific Avenue,
North Carolina.
And so then there's the two words. And so then adding the avenue onto it.
Yeah.
They did specifically tell us you need the whole name. And it makes sense because you have Pennsylvania Avenue and Pennsylvania.
And the railroad.
So you need to make sure that you say the whole thing. And she even asked the question, do you need the whole thing?
Yeah,
and they said yes. So
it still was a good duel. It really was. It ended up being a really good one. And it was a really good deep dive. I think it would have been, like you're saying, even more fun, you know, calculate your income tax if you have X. No, I'm just kidding. That would have been a math category. Tony would have done great on that.
The new version just tells you to have that you have to pay $200. You're not allowed to do the 10% anymore on the new version because they did say off of the 2025 version. So
which was a wrench because I'm like, whoa, we're talking modern. I don't know. I haven't played a modern version in a long time.
Right. Well, I think they all just realized we finally pay like 30-something%, not 10. So
exactly.
There's honestly not that many changes. With inflation. Other than, like, Oriental is now Rhode Island.
Right. Yeah, because we can't have Oriental Avenue anymore. That's a fact.
They changed the name from Oriental Avenue?
Yeah, it's Rhode Island Avenue now.
Did they change the name of the street in Atlantic City, though? That's my question.
Probably not.
The colors changed, too, because Mediterranean Baltic used to be that rich purple indigo color. And then last night it was like brown. Rusty color.
They're brown.
Yeah. All right. So that was a great one. Christina, we're sorry if you're listening that you spun on North Carolina, but we're glad Kelsey pulled it out. And she's like, I got to keep staying. And you said, I'm going to go for the one I've been studying the most. And I was like, well, which one would that be? You know, and then you said on-screen judges. And I'm like, ooh, because I remember thinking that's a good one. Again, Tim and I tried to anticipate. And I said, there's no way they're going to do just like reality judges, there aren't 50 of them. I go, they got to go deeper. Yeah. And he says, what about entertainment judges? I go, there you go. They're going to go America's Got Talent. They're going to go Idol.
That was my first guess. That was my first. I didn't even think about like Judge Judy.
Judge Judy?
Like,
My mind was the opposite of you. I was like, Judge Wapner. Judge Judy.
Wapner wasn't even up there right away.
I wasn't even thinking of Gordon Ramsay and those. I was thinking literal judges.
Yeah, I'm sad.
They did not show a Wapner photo. They showed Judge Wapner.
They had switched the name of that category a couple of different times. And Elizabeth, you probably remember this, that it was like on-screen judges. And then it changed to entertainment judges. And then it was like on-screen and entertainment judges. And so there was like a lot of controversy. So the reason I went that way was my original plan was like a get out strategy to go play a category I really wanted. And I really wanted to play Roman numerals. So I was going to go up and through and then go do cents and then get up to Roman numerals. I wanted to go play Monopoly, but there was no way I was going to pull myself through the whale if I want to play the long game and just, you know, keep having the time of my life. I actually said on-screen judges, and when they break briefly, like you don't just say it and then you don't go up and play right away. They do a little break. The producers come up. They like get a drink, make sure you're doing okay. I turned and it was Jen Livingood, and I turned and
We love Jen Livingood.
I love her to death. I turned to her and I went, that is not what I thought was going to come out of my mouth. And in my head, I had chosen something different, but my mouth said this one because that was my default original exit strategy, not anticipating to inherit the whole wheel and have a third of the board at my...
Make a different move.
I will say, though, the categories I wanted to play most weren't touching the whale somehow, and I have no idea how that was possible. But there was Christmas, there's Disney animation, there was Roman numerals, Beatles songs, country music awards, like all of those kinds of things. Yep. I'm still one away from every single one of those, and I'm like... How am I touching so much of the space and I don't have any of those ones? So,
well, I don't think Luke necessarily anticipated you'd be coming, but I also think with 40K in his pocket, he probably had a different mentality for the rest of the game. Like, hey, what happens, happens. And he said as much. He's like, I'm just going to keep playing because I don't have anything to lose. I got 40K. Let's just go.
We had a banter the whole time about whether you know, I was going to come for him or not or whatnot, because he'd see me looking at judges a little bit. And then, like, he'd ask me a question and I'd ask him a question about different things. And we'd test each other a little bit all the way throughout. So it was kind of a fun thing back and forth. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. Like, you can always say that hindsight is 2020, you know, but I am OK with the way that things turned out.
Yeah, it was a very good duel. It was a good... I won't say good loss, but, you know, you didn't freeze forever. You didn't panic. You didn't drop the bottle. It was a well-fought, you know, well-earned loss, if you will. And Luke just happened to grab it. And, you know, he did well. You got to do some that were difficult. Paul Hollywood, I didn't know who that was. I didn't know who Miss J was either.
He's the guy from the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, okay. So let me just say here quick. So when we had all this controversy and we're like, luckily, I had a few people who were like, hey, did you think of like all of these game shows? So then we started going through the judges on all these different game shows, like Dancing with the Stars and all of that kind of stuff, right? And mentally, I'm like, there are so many game shows to go through and so many like TV judges to go through that as soon as you hit one, I thought that they would be done with that one. So once I heard Tyra Banks, I'm like, America's Next Top Model is off.
Right.
Like, they're not going to have Twiggy. They're not going to have Janice Dickinson. They're not going to have Miss
Jane. I wouldn't know those.
Like, I was like, America's Next Top Model is done. So I cleared that one from my brain and then I'm like focusing on everything else. And so then when Miss J came up and I was like, they replayed it. They replayed ANTM. Neat.
Yep.
Like,
You went back on that. Yeah. Yeah.
That was mentally where I was, but you know, like it is what it is.
It is. It was really good. And Luke ended up going to Charlie. Yeah. He picks Charlie with Sense. And I thought Sense was kind of funny because Tim and I were talking. I said, It's a visual category. It's an audio category. Are they going to have smell-o-vision? Like, is this the first time in floor history we're going to, you know, pump scents through the... And I was like, no, they're not going to do that. And of course, it was basically named the smelly thing. And it's like, okay, that was very straightforward. I don't know if anybody passed on too much, if any. I don't know. Does anybody recall? I'm looking at my...
Jasmine
passed. Yeah, Luke passed on Jasmine. But I think everything else went pretty through.
Cigars early on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Now, Brad, I do believe one of your favorite slides of the night showed up in this duel. Would you like to discuss?
Oh, are we talking about the fart? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're watching this, and I look at my 12-year-old son, who is a master farter, and I said, They got to have fart, right? There's going to be a fart on here. And I wish it would have been a noise, like a... That would have been funny.
Like an audio duel.
It should have been audio duel, Tony.
Just for that one slide.
The way the guy's like covering his butt, it's weird. It's a weird shot. Like,
yeah,
but it didn't take him a second. He knew what it was right away. He's like, fart.
I know.
I would have been taken aback. I'd have been like, oh, what is that? Okay, that's a fart, I guess. I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see the green hue.
Honestly,
my first thing was
scratch. Like, what is that?
I said like ass, like ass stink. Like, that's what I said when I was playing with Tim, and I go, oh, thank God I wasn't on the show, because like new dude party, I would have said something like ass sweat, ass stink. Like, I didn't realize something was happening.
Swamp ass.
Swamp ass, right? Like a swamp ass smell. Oof, that was pretty rough.
I'll have that to play. Amazing.
That, I mean, that whole stinky duel was kind of, it was kind of gross. Like,
it was
the pee
bad. The other one was mothballs, actually. Mothballs looked like breath mints to me. It was an odd scale. I thought they were mints, so I did miss that one. I think Mike is telling me I need to watch Bake Off. I'm sorry. Is that who Paul Hollywood's on? Is that what I meant? Okay, right on. Fair. I'll get on that.
It's a great show. That's how I knew what Kringles were.
Well, see, no, I just don't. Okay, there you go. So, you know, Charlie ends up, unfortunately, you know, he's like, I'm winning. I'm going to go back now. And I'm like, oh, dude. Haven't you been watching this episode? Nobody's going back yet. Uh-oh. But he's like, I'm going to go. Let's see what happens. There's only a few duels left. Maybe I'll dodge the randomizer. Maybe I'll have the money. We'll see. But he's got junk food. And like all of you knew in advance, if anybody comes near you, junk food's kind of one of those general knowledge categories. He's toast if the randomizer gets near him. And of course it does. And it hits us with Jonathan Braylock, who's just, he's just adorable. I've been listening to his recap shows and chatting with him on Instagram. I just think he's a lovely dude. But he gets a chance to play. And he just seems like such a genuine, you know, sentimental kind of dude. And he got up there. He's got podcasters. That category intimidates me. I'm just saying. I'm curious to see what it's going to be. And
Adam Carolla will be on there. Adam Carolla will be on there for sure.
Yeah, Joe Rogan and stuff.
Joe Rogan.
Podcast.
Rob Lowe.
Mark Maron.
Sure. I mean.
Who's that girl that says, call me daddy? Who's that girl?
I truly think that the podcasters category is going to be really similar to the TED Talk category.
Yes.
I was going to say that. Yeah. It's because
your faces and what you realize it is. Yeah. It's not like, I mean, TED Talks, everybody was ready for like the Simon Sinek's and stuff like that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, Al Gore. Well, it's just going
and everybody Bill has Gates, a podcast. Yeah. Present company included. Everybody's got a podcast. You show any celebrity and they've got a podcast. Yeah. They'll probably have Rob Lowe for literally. They might have Mel Robbins and some of those other people. I do think it'll be high profile podcasters, but still I don't think it's as clear cut as some of the other categories, so we'll see how safe he is later, but for now he takes
my gosh food, Mike says great. Hot to a girl might even get in. I hope not, Mike. I hope you're wrong. I
she
hope
has a podcast?
We see Angie and Tony and I, that would be
she
a
does.
Better move.
She does have that, a podcast.
Yeah, no hot to a girl, no thank you.
Yeah, so I can't even imagine what
foods.
They talk about.
let's talk about Nilla Wafergate for a minute. I'll say junk foods for me, I loved it. That, to me, that's the latchkey kid duel. That's, you know, I went home, I ate SpaghettiOs, I ate Hot Pockets. I, you know, that was like my life, like from 1983 to 87, you know. That was very nostalgic for me to see a lot of those tasty treats. And Nilla Wafers comes up. Now, the only reason I'm bringing it up is because the internet was bringing it up today. And it came on other podcasts and recap live stuff on Instagram. The product... And you guys don't know because you weren't there to, I guess, get the briefing, but I'm assuming you had to name the
Jonathan
brand.
Yep. Jonathan put that in our group chat. We still have our WhatsApp group chat with the majority of the floor on there. And it does say that you have to name the name brand.
There it is.
Of it. I mean, so it's just like you weren't going to get away with toaster pastries. You have to say Pop-Tarts.
Exactly.
You know, like you're not able to say cupcakes. You have to say Ding Dongs. Like,
right.
And so... Nilla Wafers is the brand of the box that they show.
Yeah, it is.
But she was saying vanilla, right?
Yeah, he said vanilla. Yeah,
he said vanilla.
And prior, and to be just to say, and this would not be Charlie's defense because I don't think he was even born at that time, but prior to 1967, the brand was called Vanilla Wafers. It was only legally changed to Nilla Wafers in 1967 when the original proprietor sold the business to the National Biscuit Company, also known as Nabisco. Bam, put that in your research hat. Good times. But it's called Nilla. He also missed Pop-Tart, though. God bless him. I was like, dude, you're sunk when you missed the Pop-Tart. What were the words you used?
How did he not know Pop-Tart?
He was cooked when he passed
on
Pop-Tart.
Cooked, yeah.
He was cooked.
Also, I will say, on both sides, I wanted that duel to go a little bit faster. I was like, go, 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 go.
Okay, let's go.
And they were like, go.
I don't know if you felt this way watching that duel since you had the junk food category, but I like having the junk food category, like, and going, well, gosh darn it. Because I was obviously going for three and I was going to go steal geometry because I dropped the math bomb on everybody.
Yep.
And I felt like geometry was going to protect me because a lot of people were scared of it, right? Like, but I was like, gosh, if I would have went back to the floor after just playing the Monopoly duel and I wasn't touching anything else I like, I love Charlie and I absolutely love Jonathan and I think I would have crushed both of them.
I think I
was faster than both of the guys and I knew every single one of them. So it was it was a fun category.
Yeah, it was good. It was well done. I appreciated it. So then we get Jonathan, who's really stoked. He won. Now he's got to make his move. Is he going to go back? What's he going to do? And he's basically like, I really don't have much of a choice. I want to keep the 20K. I've got my own category.
Me too, Mike.
Let's go.
I'm getting these a little too fast.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Mike says he felt like a fatty watching that. I was like, yeah, I know. I used to eat a can of SpaghettiOs with the meatballs and Ding Dongs for dessert.
I still eat SpaghettiOs, so I'm
little, I love me some of that. So he goes for, and this is something you wanted to gripe about, Brad, while we're wrapping up here. He goes for combat films. Now, I'll tell you, last night, Tim can test. We talked and I said, listen up, buddy. I don't know how many war movies there are. And I don't know how easy it will be to differentiate from them because everybody's going to be in camo. And I said, and not to be funny about it, but between Hamburger Hill and Full Metal Jacket and Platoon, they all look alike. Like, how are you going to differentiate these films? And I go, unless they extend the idea of combat to just mean like violence. And now that's just going to blow it up. So that's what they did, it looks like. And I actually don't have a problem with that. Some people think that was not cool, but I'm in on it. What do you think?
Because I look at my son and I'm like, okay, we're doing Saving Private Ryan, Hamburger Hill, Platoon, Full Metal Jacket. I'm thinking nothing but military. Then they kind of hint at it and I go, okay, we got Karate Kid coming. It's going to come. And it did come. Like, I would have crushed like this category.
I really thought that this duel was
Heidi was on the show right now, Heidi would be like, Brad, I watched that and I knew this was your category.
Yep.
I'm a movie nerd. I would have crushed this.
Yep.
I really thought this category was going to be a snooze fest. I'm not into, like, military fighting movies at all. So I was ready to be, like, just zone out of this, like, with the Star Trek one. But then I was looking at it and I was like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Fight Club.
I didn't know that one.
I was like, which we could talk about Fight Club. That was crazy. Which is crazy because I watched it for the first time not too long ago. But I was like, this is your category? You don't know Fight Club?
Yeah.
But then again, he might have just been doing military movies.
Well, but he also missed Apocalypse Now.
Right? Wasn't he like 65 or 70?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Apocalypse Now
I think that was a really
the
smart
most famous war movie ever. And Martin Sheen's right there, front and center. So he missed Apocalypse Now. He missed Inglourious Basterds, classic World War II film with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Super famous. I think it won like some Academy Awards.
Even I've watched it.
Even you watched it. You haven't played Monopoly, so that says a lot. Right? But, I'm just saying.
I think that was a really smart move on John's part. Or was it Jonathan or John?
Jonathan.
Because a lot of the times, like sometimes people, like, people of his age, sometimes they won't have the best reaction time. And if you feel like I'm an expert, I feel like I'm an expert at your category and I could be faster, then that was a smart move. If he had to keep going, I think that was the best move for him to go.
You know what? You're not wrong. But I'm just going to take a slight offense. As a 52-year-old...
You're not of that age. He was like 17.
Angie. I love you, girl.
I did some research. He's only 47. He's not that old.
That's true. No, he wasn't.
Younger than Angie.
Oh, you're so silly. You're silly. Elizabeth, we're like the same age.
Angie, you're 22, so it was... I'm 22.
You're right. I'm 22. I had SpaghettiOs for lunch. I'm totally like in college 52. Again.
I would have said 42. You don't look 52. Really.
52.
I'm 46. So we
age like fine wines. We're just like that.
We do.
So, I mean, there have been even from your season, Angie, like there's been some people like older who, what's her name? She did Disco.
Juliet, she did so good.
So I'm not saying that, you know, just
I know you're not.
Well, Mike, like, how was Virginia? How was Virginia?
Virginia was 70 something. And Meg was like 70 something. And Dan was 70 something. Juliana,
I think it was just like it was the last duel. This was for 20K. This was, I mean, if he was thinking, okay, like he was also thinking about the category and the person who had it too. So,
yep. And don't underestimate the physical challenge. It's not just age. It's like if you are somebody who may be less spry, might be a little, you know, it takes a toll to stand there for as long as you're standing there for a long time. And if anybody looks exhausted, old or young, they're mentally exhausted too. I mean, you're physically strained and you're mentally strained. And if you can look even closely and maybe even play that game, you're not wrong, Tony. It's not a bad tactic. And I think Jonathan probably saw that. Also, he probably knew his television. He's an actor. His wife's in the business. I think he knew his material too. So we're going to see if he can carry it on into next week when we've got season 4, episode 7 coming. Jonathan's got a sweet 20K in his pocket. And Elizabeth didn't leave empty-handed either. Kelsey left with pride and a chutzpah, and she got to say, oh, heavens, like 10 times on air.
And nation of admirers.
That's phrase for life. So,
Elizabeth, have you received the 20 G's yet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that stuff hit fast from what we heard. As soon as we wrapped, people were like,
it was like that cha-ching. Friday. That one was Wednesday, and it was in my bank account Friday. So,
wow. That's awesome.
It's really funny. There's like these people are like, oh, did they take taxes out of it? And I was like, no, I got to do that later. Yeah, so.
No hiding from the IRS when it's on national television, but it'll be fine. Kelsey, Elizabeth, thanks so much for taking time out tonight. Mike, Tim, folks who chimed in on the live cast chat room, we appreciate you. Tony, as always, it's so great to see you. And Brad, welcome back. You took a week off before, so it's good to have you back in the mix. Next week, let's find out what happens. Let's see what Jonathan does. Let's see how long that whale can stay a whale. I think it's going to get pretty harpooned. About 9 duels out of 9, it's just going to keep switching hands. So I think we're going to see some fierce competition. And I wonder if anybody's actually going back to the floor next week. Let's see. Everybody, take care of yourselves. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
What was that? The big